St. Paul writes in our epistle reading today in Ephesians chapter 4, "This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, and the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality." I used to love the letter to the Ephesians. That was until about 5 or 6 weeks ago when I decided to start preaching on it. Immersing myself in this letter, it has chewed me up and spit me out. St. Paul keeps challenging me and you and the readers of this letter to a battle that you and I cannot win. A battle that doesn't take place in the arena of public masses or politics or any sort of external realities, but a battle that takes place within, in the heart of man. And St. Paul, he lays down the gauntlet on the entirety of humanity in these short few verses, including our culture today. This letter, it should come with a warning label. It's dangerous. The very word of God can be painful, tearing into places within us that have been calloused for far too long. So you and I, we can ignore it. We can stop hearing it or excuse ourselves from it, convince ourselves it's not talking about me, and leave our hearts calloused and hardened and our lives stubborn and our love cold. Don't do that. Open your ears and hear this word from St. Paul. And wherever it pokes you, because it will, whenever it prods you, whenever it pierces you, and yes, wherever it even kills part of you, repent. And put off your old self. And put on the new, which is created in the likeness and image of God in true righteousness and holiness, St. Paul writes. St. Paul writes that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. I know that's easy to kind of glance over. The futility of your mind. What does that even mean? Giving the word little chance to work on us. But let's stop and consider for a moment, what is Paul saying here? What does it mean to walk in the futility of one's mind? Well, when someone begins to walk in the futility of their mind, it means that they begin to walk in emptiness or purposelessness. Walking around without any real concrete sense of purpose or meaning, you know, like life has little value or worth anymore. Don't walk like that, Paul says. Oh, okay. But do you? Do you walk in a way that has no real concrete sense of purpose? Do you walk as if your life holds little value? Paul says you're walking like that if your life is alienated from the life of God, ignorant of the life of God. Well, okay. Are you walking like that? Are you walking in a life that is alienated from the life of God? No, I doubt you've considered that lately. You know, there's other more pressing things on the mind. School's starting this week. But I'm asking you to consider it now. Are you walking in a way that is ignorant of the life of God? I suppose that's a tough question. I mean, how do you even begin to answer a question like that? I mean, how do you know? St. Paul says, you'll know it when you see these two things: calloused hearts and sensuality. You want to know if you're walking in the futility of your mind? You'll find it in these two things. They've become calloused and have given themselves up to sensuality. calloused hearts is a heart that has lost the feeling of shame. A heart that is so inured that one is no longer bothered by the implications of what one is doing. A heart that is dead to the feeling of any sense of right or wrong. A calloused heart can slander a loved one without shame. A calloused heart can go to bed angry without shame. A calloused heart can steal from another without shame. A calloused heart can even cause a little one to sin without shame. A calloused heart is ignorant of the life of God and the purposes for which he made it. Because a calloused heart no longer cares about people. And no longer cares about God. Sin no longer bothers a calloused heart. That's when you'll know if your life has become ignorant of the life of God, when you find it easy to stay mad, when it's easy to stay angry, when it's easy to cause pain to another person. Don't do that. Oh, okay. But do you? Calloused hearts and sensual desires. Paul writes about sensuality quite frequently, and it's easy to glance over this word. I mean, what does it mean to live a life filled with sensual desires? Paul writes about it a lot. Well, a life with sensual desires is a life where any sort of self-restraint has gone out the window. You know, like this idea of self-abandonment. Like, you don't even care about other people anymore. All you care about are your own desires. And people, actually, they're merely just objects now meant to satisfy my own sensual desires, whatever those desires may be. Paul says these works are evident: sensuality, sexual immorality, strife and jealousy and fits of anger and rivalries and dissensions and divisions and envy. These things are bad, and they lead to a life that is ignorant of the life of God. And all of it, Jesus tells us, lies within the heart of man, where St. Paul takes up this battle with you and me and all the readers of his letter. Jesus says what comes out of a person is what defiles him. It's from within. Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts and sexual immorality and theft and murder and adultery, coveting and wickedness and sensuality, envy and slander and deceit and pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. A sensual life no longer cares about God's word of right or wrong. It no longer cares about people. That's when you know if you're walking a way that is ignorant of the life of God. Walking with futility is found in a heart where sin has stopped bothering it. I can go on about my sin without any fear or regret or shame. God doesn't care. And neither do I. It's as simple as taking a cool drink of water. Might as well. Who cares? Everything's fine. But everything is not fine. Have we stopped listening to God's word? Have we forgotten what we learned in Christ? Has our love grown that cold for God and man? Have we forgotten that Jesus Christ has died for us? Has he not died for you? Has Christ not died for you? Then your life has new meaning and purpose. Did Jesus not rise from the dead for you? Then your life is not in vain or transitory. Paul says if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is futile. You want to talk about futility? You're still in your sins, and all who have died are still dead. If these things are not true, then we Christians of all people must be most pitied. But you were ransomed by the futile ways of your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Through him, believers in God are raised from the dead and give God glory, so your faith and hope are in God. If Jesus is Lord, and if Jesus truly died for you, if Jesus is truly risen from the dead for you, then you can no longer lay there numb from your sin without regret or shame or fear. Repent and put off your old life and put on the new. Callous hearts be gone. The heart of a Christian is a heart that is tender and filled with love and mercy. You have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. Listen to the scriptures. God made you in his image, and you rebelled against him. You filled your hearts with all kinds of callousness and sensual desires. And your love for God grew cold, and you treated people like dirt. Some who were even real close to you. But Jesus bought you back. Jesus redeemed you. The very life of God himself. He gave himself up for you so that you would be forgiven. So that you would be redeemed. So that you would have a new life in him. So put on the new life, created after the image and the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus says that you all are the salt of the earth. Our culture needs it. Our culture today is buckling under the weight of hating God and hating one another. Politicians are hated. Officers are hated. Women are hated and men are hated. Christians are hated and atheists are hated. African Americans are hated and Hispanics are hated and Caucasians are hated. The love of people has grown freezing cold today, and the love of God in our culture has grown just as cold. Don't waste your time trying to figure out which one came first. They go hand in hand. God has been forgotten along with the person on the streets. And the person on the other side of the aisle. People matter less today than ever before. It's only their ideas or their influences that still matter. Think of it. What do we do to a person who's made in the image and likeness of God when they promote an idea that you and I don't like? We slander them. What happens to a person who's made in the image and likeness of God when they use their influences in ways that we do not agree with? Well, then they're the scum of the earth. And we fight and we clamor against them. This world, it is filled with hatred and anger and clamor of one another. Let's not add to it, because you are a Christian. And as a Christian, you have been grafted back into the life of God. And that life that you have been bought back into is centered on the love of God and the love of your neighbor. Love for your families. Love for your church, love for your communities and your country, love for your fellow man, not because they do this or that, or because they said this or said that, or because they work here or work there, but because they are, like you and me, made in the image of God. And each person has intrinsic worth and value because of that sole reason. They're made in God's image. Therefore, we love them. No matter the externals, no matter what they've done or didn't do or said or didn't say or how their life looks like, each human has intrinsic worth because of this reason. They are made in God's image, and they deserve our love. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't disagree with one another, or that other people won't be a real pain. But it does mean that you can't slander them. It does mean that you can't go to bed angry with one another. It means, above all else, that you love one another as Christ has loved you. And in this, you are an imitator of God himself. For those who are baptized in Christ, your life has a clear, concrete purpose: to walk in love. Love of God with all your heart and soul, and love for your neighbor. Amen.